Thank you, Cindy, for that great meditation. It's good to be here today. It's good to be able to see everyone clearly as I got some cataract surgery, and now I can see all things nice and clear, thank God. And we're removing that. And so today I want to talk about rest, all right? You know, every one of us look forward to a little rest, right? I think maybe lately, being retired, I get a little too much rest, but it's nice. And the rest that we get, though, is never completely complete rest. It really isn't, because we're still carrying, you know, while we're sitting there relaxing, physically resting, we're thinking and we're worrying and we're caring and we're planning and we're worried about bills and worry about people, worry about our health, other people's health, other things that are going on in our lives. And there's a lot of anxiety in this world, and so there's a lot going on. So true rest really only comes through us from God. And God has promised us an eternal rest, okay? And this eternal rest that God promises is a rest that is free from all trials, tribulations, troubles. The rest talks about in Revelation, where there'll be no more pain, no sorrow, no more suffering, no more death. It'll be a wonderful place. You know, there's a song, Heaven is a Wonderful Place. It's filled with glory and grace, and we look forward to that. So today I want to talk to you about this rest, and if you have your Bibles or you have your phones or whatever you might have, if you could turn to Hebrews chapter 4, and we'll pick that. We're going to revert back into chapter 3 a little bit, but we'll begin. And, you know, this rest all began in Genesis chapter 2 with God. On the seventh day, God rested, okay? Cindy was in Genesis today. I was wondering if she was going to actually read that. But, you know, after his creation work, or most of his creation work, God on the seventh day rested. Now, God, when he rested, he didn't rest because he was so tired of creating the world. He had to sit down and relax on a lounge chair or something like that, because he still sustained this world. He keeps it going. The Bible tells us God is before all things, and it's in him that everything is held together. And so he's still sustaining and keeping the world going. And that rest is an example for all of us. It's really a rest in God that we are looking forward to, okay? It's a very, very peaceful rest, free of all anxiety. And let me explain as we read, picking up here in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 begins with a therefore, all right? Wednesday night, once I lock in on something, I guess I use it a few times, but I mentioned Wednesday night in our Bible study that whenever there's a therefore, we really need to look and see what it's there for, okay? And why is it there? And Hebrews chapter 4 begins with a therefore. It's therefore the reason that he wants us to look in view of chapter 3, especially verses 7 through 11. And so let's back up as we begin in verses chapter 3, verse 7 through 11. Something kind of interesting here. This is really Psalm 95. And this is a portion of Psalm 95, and it's actually the verses 7 through 11. But here in Hebrews, it's also verses 7 through 11. It's coincidental, but that's how it goes. And so we're reading from Hebrews, verses 7, chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, and it is from Psalm 95. So as the Holy Spirit says, you know, we also had a study on Holy Spirit on Wednesday night. And we looked at how, you know, all Scripture is inspired by God. The prophets never spoke on their own. They only spoke as they were moved along by the Holy Spirit. And we talked a lot about that. And so here it starts out in verse 7. It says, so as the Holy Spirit says. I don't know if it was not to give away the author of Hebrews, because we don't know who the author of Hebrews is. But here it's strictly the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my way. So I declared on an oath in anger that they shall never enter my rest. Okay? So now we begin here, and let me just read the rest of that chapter 3. So too it is, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end, as has just been said, and here we have again Psalm 95, verses 7 and 8. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as they did in the rebellion. Who were they who had heard and rebelled? Were they not all those whom Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who had sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. You know, we read scripture, and Exodus 33:11, it talks about the fact that the Israelites were to wander in the desert for 40 years. They wandered in the desert for 40 years because, as God had promised them, he would provide them less rest in the promised land. The promised land is a type or a shadow of heaven as we know it. So he promised them he would lead them into the promised land. And he sent in, as you know, Moses originally sent in 12 spies to spy out the land of Canaan, which was the promised land. And they spied it out for 40 days. After 40 days, they came back, and 10 of them gave a bad, unfaithful report. And only two, Joshua and Caleb, gave a good report back to Moses. And God had promised them that he would lead them and guide them and give them the promised land. It was a promise of God. So the 10 that came back with a bad report were being unfaithful and not trusting in God. And because of that, the Bible tells us that he told them that they would then have to wander in the desert for 40 years. He said you would wander in the desert for 40 years, for 1 year for each of the days that the spies went into the land and came back with a bad report. For each of the 40 days, now you'll wander in the desert for 40 years, okay? And we can find that in Scripture very clearly, okay? So now, here we are up to date. And so it's kind of interesting because first Moses is trying to lead them to this rest because of their disobedience here, as we just read in Psalms 95, which is a psalm of David, that they did not receive the rest that was promised to them because of what? Because of their disobedience, all right? And we see that at the time of David, when we're reading Psalm 95, that this rest still stands, okay? As long as it's called today, the rest still stands. And that's where we begin in chapter 4. Let's take a look at that again after the therefore. First of all, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful. Now, this is a warning to us not to repeat the same disobedience and the same sinful, unfaithful, untrusting attitude as that of the Israelites who were unfaithful to God and didn't trust in him. He says, since the promise of entering his rest, and we'll talk about this rest a little more, still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. You know, they were given the word of God back then, and they were given God's promise. He told them the good news that they would be led into the promised land, they would conquer it, and they would be his chosen people. And they were disobedient to that. And so we also had good news proclaimed to us just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Okay, and so we are called today as Christians to have an obedient faith. And the obedient faith means that we will be obedient. We will act. The Bible tells us in James chapter 2 that faith without works is dead. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we are called into an obedience of faith, action upon our faith. We are to do respond faithfully as all those in Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, as it's called, Abraham, Moses, and so on and so forth. And so, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said, so I declared in an oath in my anger, they shall never enter the rest. And yet his work had been finished since the creation of the world. So we're not talking, let me just blow my nose. Sorry. And it says there, and his works have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, on the seventh day God rested from all his works, which is from Genesis chapter 2:2. And I know that the author of this letter and the Holy Spirit certainly knew where that could be found in Genesis chapter 2:2, although they didn't have verses then. But anyway, and again, he says, and so somewhere there's a passage that said God rested. And then also, again, there's a passage above that says, you shall not enter my rest. So now we look at what's been written here. So far, you know, we have God who rested, and God given us the great example of rest. God is rest. God is peace, okay? We need to be in God. We need to be in Christ. We someday will be with him eternally. And what he's leading up to, the author of Hebrews, amazingly, is leading up to show us that all the promises of rest have been given down the line, but because of disobedience, it's been forfeited. However, that rest is still available because today is still called today, and it's still available. And the rest that we're looking forward to in the future is God's eternal rest, and that's a real, true, peaceful rest, not the type of rest we have when we sit at home worrying about our bills and every other problem in the world, you know? You know, sometimes we wake up in the morning and right away we're starting to roll with problems. You know, we've been thinking about them through the night. You know, I mentioned this to Linda quite a bit. I said, were we planning all night about this? And so, again, this passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them, just as us, just as we have, just as we do, to them, they did not go in because of their disobedience. So God, in his mercy, God again now sets a certain day, calling it today. Okay? Today is a wonderful word because it always applies to the day we're in. Okay? And so God has set another time when he is proclaiming to us, which is today, because we're reading from this letter of Hebrews, that there is a rest in store for those who are obedient to their faith, okay? And to be disobedient to God also means, as a warning, that because of your disobedience, you will also not enter into this rest which God has promised us, okay? So today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, and the other thing is that Joshua was also had promised them that they would give rest. After the 40 days when they actually rested and went into the promised land, they received a rest, but not a true rest that they had originally been promised, because the penalty for that disobedience still was with them. And so they entered into the promised land, and he's saying here that if that was completed, if that was the rest that we're talking about, then we wouldn't now be speaking again through David, which came later after Joshua, of another rest, okay, of the true rest. And so that's exactly what he says. Listen to this. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of a later about another day's rest. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their own works, just as he did from his. You know, we are so thankful that God is preparing this for us. You know, the Bible tells us that in John chapter 14, that there are many mansions in his kingdom. There are many rooms. If it were not so, Jesus would have told us so. and that he is preparing this rest for every one of us now, okay? He wants us to be where he is also. And so God is an amazing God, and we can count on him. And what he wants us to do is to lean on his promises and accept them as truth. Here he's giving us a promise over and over again. And he's showing us examples over and over again throughout biblical history that how those who were disobedient did not enter my rest. And so he still keeps his promise. The promise is still, we still have this eternal rest looking forward to, and so we can count on God. You know, I was thinking the other day about the astronauts who originally landed on the moon. And, you know, as they were about to come home, as they stood on the moon, they could see the Earth. You know, it must have been a beautiful sight, you know, from moon to Earth. And so when they returned safely, they were asked, what were they thinking as they looked at the Earth just before they returned? And the one astronaut said that, you know, the one thing that kept going through my mind is that the space capsule that we were going home in was built by the lowest bidder. And so would we ever really get home? But, you know, when we look at God's promises, he's not the lowest bidder. God is of the highest order. And when he makes an oath, and he tells us by oath, and he makes an oath, a promise to himself, a vow to himself, that rest is still to come. We can count on that 100%, okay? We need to lean on the promises and count on the promises of God. They're always true. And this rest that God has for everyone is still there. It's still ahead of us. And so, and many of our loved ones and many of the people we know are resting there and enjoying that peace now, and we need to be heading there as well. So here it is. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works. And this just talks about the fact that, you know, it's not all works that he's been talking about in this rest, but you also receive rest from your works. You receive rest from all your sorrows, all pains, all suffering, everything on this world that's disturbing. You'll be free from that as you enter into God's rest. So let us therefore now, and here's his plea, as we conclude, he says, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. Okay? We need to follow the example of those in the Bible who were obedient to God. And they were rewarded, and they found temporary rest, but because of the promise that we have, we can find an everlasting and eternal rest in God. God is rest. He rested, he was rested in the beginning, and he wants us to find rest in him in the end, okay? So let's just conclude. I just want to mention a couple of things here. Part of this rest is that it is an eternal rest, a total peaceful rest that includes rest from our work, but rest from all the other things. You know, an author, what was her name? I had written it down. Her name was Sandra Dalton Smith. I don't know if you ever heard of her, but she wrote a book called A Sacred Rest, and she said there are seven things that you really need to have a true rest. Those seven, you need physical rest, mental rest, emotional rest, sensory rest, social rest, creative rest, and spiritual rest. That's all we need. And she said we need all these things to find a perfect peace, and that sounds good, but certainly we never will find that perfect peace while we're here on earth. Only perfect peace will be found in God and in his rest. So that's a good timing for me to conclude, because I'm losing my voice. So anyway, what did Jesus say in Matthew 11, verse 28? He said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what? I will give you rest. So here we have in the Bible today a warning, a plea, and a desire that we all continue to seek that rest because it's still available today. And the conditions that still exist today, okay? Disobedience is not a good thing. Obedient faith is good, and God has promised us rest. Okay? God bless. God bless and you rest.